this is NY Bill.
This is Kukmo.
This is Murph.
And we thought we'd just talk a bit about the Hope Conference, our thoughts about it, and maybe some of you don't know about the Hope Conference and can get to the next one. So we should say what the Hope Conference is. It's Hackers on Planet Earth, and it's put on by the guys that do 2600. And they do it every 2 years at the Hotel Penn in New York City. And we three met each other there. So,
if only we could have spent more time.
Yeah, that is tough. There's a talk after talk after talk. So, yeah, we didn't have much time to chat.
And for that matter, there are four tracks of talks, and there's almost always two interesting things going on at the same time. So not only is there no downtime to do other stuff, but you're missing something no matter what you do anyway.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's the vendor area and the little projects they had.
Hackerspace.
Yeah.
Lockpick Village. That's always interesting.
They had a complete solder set up so you could sit and build projects.
So were you guys there all 3 days?
I was.
I was there as well.
Oh, okay. I only made Saturday this time, so I did miss a lot of talks.
Well, they do put all of the talks up eventually online. I know all of the past talks they've been putting up, so I would expect these will end up there, you know, sooner than later anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The Radio Statler stuff is already going up, so if I know none of you probably got a chance to keep up with any of that, but it's up now.
Any talks stick out to you guys?
Oh, man, so many of them. The one about how hackerspaces are too much male white clubs and need to be attracting more people and get more blood in there. That one was really good. It was entertaining and informative, and I got a big kick out of it.
I know I saw Eben Moglen's talk on smartphones and how you know we have these computers on us at all times, and that they should be obeying the first law of robotics, Isaac Asimov's idea of that, because these are computers that are there ostensibly to do our bidding, and the first law of robotics is that they should do no harm to the user. And the current phones that we are carrying around don't do that. You know, he's basically saying that, you know, these are robots, we are their hands and feet, we carry them around, but they don't necessarily do our bidding or even not work to, you know, they might even work against our interests or try to harm us. So it was a very compelling talk. And actually, I bought the DVD from that, so if it doesn't go up soon, maybe I'll put that up somewhere.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it seems like half of our phone's function is sending everything back to the mothership to be sold to advertisers. So.
Yes.
I got lucky, and my brother-in-law lives there in Manhattan, and I was directly across the street from the Google building. Came home third.
Which one? The one on down in Chelsea there?
Chelsea, yes. Got home Thursday from walking around your city all day, and plugged in the phone, and it said, "Hey, you've got an update." And so I got jelly bean right then and there that evening, and I attributed it to being right across the street from the mothership.
Nice.
Beamed it over with a laser.
That's right.
Speaking of the city, yeah, I should mention that if anybody's thinking of attending Hope the next time they do it, and you can take a train in, the hotel is directly across the street from Penn Station. So you walk out of the train, up two flights of stairs across the street, and you're at the convention. That is handy.
The whole city is handy. I rode the subway once, and I was in a taxi once. I took the bus from the Jersey airport, but besides that, I was on foot the whole time I was there and had no problem getting around besides the taxis trying to run me over.
Yeah. I almost got hit by a hansom cab once, which is those horse-drawn carriages.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Because you can kind of time... Everybody kind of times the lights and the walk and do not walk, and you can just run across the street whenever you want, and somehow my brain was not paying attention to standing right there was a horse. So I just start walking. There's no cars coming, so I start walking out of the street, and the guy must like hit the horse with the lashes or something, and the thing whinnied like right in my face, and lesson learned.
Yeah, you always always be careful crossing the streets in New York. Always look both ways, even on one-way streets.
Yeah, yeah, you never know.
No, I also took the train in and from New Jersey, and yes, it is an easy experience. You go into Penn Station, you know, up a flight of stairs, and right across the street is the hotel. It really couldn't be easier.
Unless you walk up Penn Station and go out the back side like I did, I had to walk around three sides.
Yeah, well, there is that, I suppose.
You know, we really ought to encourage people. I know some of us tend to be kind of live under a rock. You're either at work or at your keyboard. This was such a great experience. I came out from Idaho. On the way in, had a two-hour layover in San Fran, and a gentleman asked to join me at my table while I was having lunch. Turned out he was a high-pressure physicist, so we spent the whole 2 hours talking about his field. Was having breakfast out in front of Times Square and saw Geraldo walk past me. And then on the way back, I had a very nice young woman. She was a TV host in India on the flight back to, let's see, I had to land in Phoenix. So, you know, right there, I got to meet all kinds of cool people. I got to meet you guys, everybody out there. I feel like I had a whole year's worth of experiences in just those 3 days, 4 days in New York, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt that the conference is in the city, because the city is fun.
Yeah, right in the middle of Midtown. Yeah. Couldn't be a better location.
You just walk, well, you can walk across the street and get food, or you can just go in any direction and you can find great restaurants and you can fill your time there. You can make Hope into a week vacation, and that's what we did when I went 2 years ago. Oh, speaking of meeting us, Cuvemo, well, I had to do a little stalker stuff before I met you. I didn't know what you looked like, and I went on HPR, and then I saw a link to Flickr, and I looked through your Flickr page, and I go, all right, I think I know what this guy looks like, because we were going to try, we said before we were going to try and meet up, and I didn't tell you, I didn't have time to tell you this, but at 9 a.m., I was down near the hackerspace, and I go up to this guy, and I tap on his shoulder. I go, are you an HPR guy? And he goes, huh? There's somebody there that has the same, soul patch thing, like the goatee thing there. So whoever that was very confused as to even what HPR was or what this guy was asking who he was.
So my description in that first email, was that helpful at all?
No. Actually, I think during the Yes Men talk, Murph, you got a chair, and then I stayed by this column, and Cuvemo, you must have been standing by the curtains where they shut those windows. And some seat opened, and all of a sudden you walked right in front of me. I go, oh, yeah, that's the guy. So before we met, I spotted you out, and then after the talk, that's when I sat down behind you.
Yeah, it would have been great if we'd had more time where we could have got a meal and done some talking.
Yeah, if I had stayed over, maybe we could have. I was just there for, 8 or 9 hours.
Yeah. Well, it was good that you took the opportunity to come down nonetheless, though. So even just spending, you know, the middle part of the day there, I'm sure you still got plenty out of it.
Yeah, it is fun. Actually, right before my train, I had about 40 minutes, so I went across the street to this bar, and I actually met one of the staff there, the Hope staff, and we talked for 20 minutes. And he had never heard of HPR, and I explained it all to him and, like, the community. And basically the 2,600 people are the same community.
Yeah.
So he says he's going to check out HPR, and then I mentioned to him that sometimes HPR people are at conferences, and we have, like, the tablecloth and the signage and the swag and the stickers and stuff, and possibly at the next Hope, if we got some people together, could we have a table? And he said, yeah, you can arrange it through email, or if you get there, just commandeer one of the tables, because they're back by the hackerspace.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking about that during the conferences. We should try to do that next time.
Yeah, if we can get a few HPR people there, and we'll run a table.
Yeah, that's definitely feasible. I could definitely help with that, because this one's close enough that I can devote more time to it.
Did you guys make it over to the talk where the gal was enhancing her some damage to one of her ears. She had surgery on it, and the outer part of her ear, the cochlear and all, is still good, but the outer part was removed. So she was trying to figure out a way to get sound back into her head. So she created a helmet that pipes vibration into her skull and allows her to hear again. I was wondering if any of you sat in on that one. It was a real short talk, but it was pretty neat.
No, it sounds interesting, but I didn't see it.
Yeah.
That sounds like exactly the type of cool hacker stuff you hear about, I hope.
Exactly.
Was she in one of the lightning talks or a scheduled speaker?
No, she had a scheduled spot in Nutt. And it wasn't very long, but she showed some slides. She's got a blog called Wired where she covers it, but it was pretty neat. I sent her some stuff. I've seen some they call it bone induction speakers. I was thinking that maybe she could simplify her design so she didn't have to walk around with a construction helmet on her head.
Oh.
But it was really neat. Got me excited. I'm gonna play with some more audio stuff now because of that.
Cool.
Interesting.
One that I liked was the there was a history of portable computers. Actually, Murph, when you said, "Was I here?" and "Do you want to go get lunch?" That's the talk I was in.
Right.
That was like before clamshell laptops or the laptops that we know of. All the interesting computers that came out before that. Anything that would compute and had batteries in it.
There was also, I don't know if you guys saw the March exhibit down in the down on the second floor where they have a lot of vintage computer stuff. They're a local group to me, and they always have a lot of interesting stuff out there as well. They had some of the single board computers, some of the stuff, the pre-PC stuff.
I saw like a plexiglass see-through Apple I or Apple II.
It was really interesting. He was explaining to somebody that it was not an original Apple I, but was original. So there was nothing on that board that wasn't exactly like they originally had laid it out. And was trying to make the point to the guy that no, it, you know, it wasn't an original one, but it was as original as you could possibly get. Nice pieces of equipment.
Oh, I just remembered something funny. I went downstairs to buy postcards, because we have like a little group of people we send postcards to, and while I'm in there, I'm paying for them, and the lady reads the badge, which is an interesting badge. The badge to get in this time was a passport. It actually looks like a real passport.
Yeah.
But she reads the badge. She goes, "Hackers on planet Earth." She goes, you're one of them. and she goes, "When I saw you people were showing up, I called my husband and said, the bad people are upstairs." I tried to explain hackers and crackers to her, and, you know, most of us are good guys. I mean, I'm sure there's a few black hats up there, but, I mean, a hacker is a good term.
I don't think I met one bad person my whole trip.
I sat next to somebody trying to crack Wi-Fi, sniffing packets, and he was up to a little bit, but, you know, I'm sure it was for fun.
Honestly, at a hacker conference, that's fair game as far as I'm concerned. I brought a machine that I was perfectly willing to have compromised horribly, and it didn't happen, at least not that I know of. But it was a tablet that I brought, wiped it clean before I walked in the door, expecting that people were going to be fooling around with stuff. And when I found out, apparently I was, for a time, on a spoofed version of the conference Wi-Fi and not the actual Wi-Fi, I shrugged my shoulders and went, okay, because I wasn't doing anything exceptionally important.
I didn't see your picture up on any wall of shame, so you were right.
Yeah, they don't do a wall of shame like DEF CON does, although that would be fun. It would probably be redundant there because I'm sure people were also hitting all sorts of stuff from the area. So there'd be lots of people up there that would never see their own name because they weren't actually in the conference.
Yeah, I make sure before I go to Hope, before I leave the house, make sure my server's running so I can SSH tunnel to it and pipe everything through safely.
Did either of you make it to the Byzantine Linux talk?
No.
It was a pre-configured distro for loading into a machine and setting up a instant mesh network. And they actually handed out 500 disks down at the in the hackerspace.
Wow, no, I missed that.
I saw this morning that on Boing Boing, Corey had said that they had released the ISO. So there's a link on Boing Boing today on where to grab that ISO. But it's pretty cool. I've often thought that it'd be nice to have a darknet or a non-affiliated internet that we were talking offline there that the problem is that we need more people who are willing to set one up because everybody's so far apart.
Yeah, I belong to Albany 2600, a local group, and we often talk about mesh networking, but we live too far apart. However, I might grab this ISO now and just bring it to one of the meetings, and we can fool around with it while we're at the meeting.
You bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can fool around with it there. Yeah, the problem when you have something, you know, like I was talking about before we started, I had no LPC, and the mesh networking in that was real interesting, unless you're the only one that has one. Then you're like the guy that bought one walkie-talkie. It's like, hey, I don't have anybody to talk to on this thing.
The static is my friend.
Yes, exactly. So we were talking about talks. I don't know, did either of you sit in on Stephen Rambam's privacy postmortem?
That's right when I was heading back for the train, so no, I missed that one.
Right. Yeah, that's always interesting. He does something similar each year, but shows you just how much information you give up and how easily that's collected together and given to advertisers or, you know, other people that ask for it. Like,
yeah, he is a private investigator, so he mentions a lot how... I saw his talk 2 years ago at the last Hope.
Yeah.
He mentions just give him your name, and in 5 minutes, he's got everything.
After the talk, he was in that that little area in between Dennis and Nutt, had a bunch of people around him, and was still going. He was still preaching the message.
Oh, I'm convinced he could go for 6-8 hours without even taking a breath, without taking a break. Very interesting guy, though.
We should mention that these are room names, Dennis and Nutt and Sassman. These are these were where the different tracks are held. So,
yeah.
Do they name them different every year?
Yes, they do. This year it was named after Dennis Ritchie. The open track was I forget its name, Frufflin something.
Sassman?
No, well, yeah, Sassman was one of them, and. There's another one named after one of the early guys in microcomputers. I know he showed up on the March list, his obituary, another person that passed, who was very big in the early, like, the single-board computer days. He was very big into that stuff. So.
Felsenstein?
Yes, that's it. Yeah, couldn't recall the name, but that was one of the names. And the other two, Sassman and Nutt, I wasn't familiar with either of those names.
Mm-hmm. Did either of you catch, I think his name's Bill Binney, the...
No, I got there
talk,
the right
keynote?
As he was finishing that up, so I only saw the tail end of it, and I didn't really get what the whole thing was about. That's one of the ones I'll catch up on video later.
I'm trying to think of the three-letter organization he was with. The NSA?
I was just going to say, I believe that's the NSA.
And he started getting fed up with how much they're collecting on everyday people walking around on the street, and... He was kind of a whistleblower for them.
Well, and how corrupt the whole thing is. And when you call them on it, they're like, well, yeah, you know, they kind of stare at their feet.
Yeah.
They've all pledged an oath to the Constitution, and it's, you know, whatever brings the money into the department to keep the department going.
Yeah, exactly.
I watched a video of him giving a talk. It wasn't Hope, but it was from something else, so I kind of know. Maybe I know what the talk would have been, but it must have been a day I wasn't there.
It was amazing.
Nice.
Yeah, I caught the very tail end of it, so I didn't entirely get what was going on with it. But I'm sure it was, you know, it sounded interesting from just the part I caught.
And they had MakerBots there. That was interesting to see, too. Did you guys see them on the mezzanine?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, and they seem to be making bigger and bigger stuff with those. Every time I see them, you know, the first few times I saw them, they were doing little, you know, like game pieces, little tuxes that were about an inch high. Now they're making these rather large and elaborate structures. It's getting...
Yeah, one looked... one was like a human skull, about, you know, basically the size of a human skull. It was a little more cartoonish, but... Yeah, they're making bigger stuff.
And then right across from that one, the MakerBot, was a gal that was selling a kit for $650 that she had bought a replicator. And it was just a pain in the butt to build, and it required you getting sourcing your own parts. And she said, you know, this could be a lot easier. So after her and her family put this one together, they went ahead and sourced their own parts and built a bunch of stuff, and they've got a whole unit that they sell you for $650. I didn't see any parts that they were making I don't know if it was just what they chose to make or it has less resolution as the MakerBot, but none of the stuff on her table really looked as nice as the stuff on the MakerBot table, but it could have been just what she was making.
Our 2600 group locally, we're trying to get a Hackspace going now. We're visiting places, and I guess a lease will have to be signed and things like that. But that's one of the projects that keeps getting kicked around, getting into MakerBots or building our own, etc.
Yeah, if I could get a hold of a laser cutter and a MakerBot, I'd be happy as can be.
Nice.
I actually work for a company who makes fiber optics, and I keep trying to find reasons. You know, it's like, well, you know, if we could mark that part with something, like, say, a laser scribe, we could track that a lot better. Have to bring that up every so often.
This sounds like this is how we got our lug in an office building. The IT guy runs it, and he went to his boss and said, hey, if we can have this lug on the weekend, we'll test all the network changes that I make before Monday. So,
nice.
Similar. Anything you guys wanted to touch on?
So, yeah, run through the talks here real quick.
I was looking. Okay. I know I enjoyed the Meme Factory guys, but I can't recall for the life of me what the hell it was about.
Is this at the start of the Yes Men?
Yeah. No. It was before the Yes Men. Yeah, Kill the Internet. Yeah, now I recall, having seen the title. They put on a good presentation. They had a lot of stuff. I'd like to see their full presentation, because they normally have three screens going and the three of them talking. So it sounds like they put a lot of effort into presentation, so I'd like to sort of see their full presentation. I'm sure there are videos up. I got to go search it down.
Another talk I saw was all about encryption on the web, and I think the guy's project was called CryptoCat. But wow, some of that went right over my head. Acronyms I've never heard of, and encryption algorithms, and I don't really encrypt things, but it was definitely.
You go to these kind of conferences, yeah, there's always stuff you end up not understanding there. Sometimes you get a little acronymed out.
Yep.
But interesting.
But you're also sitting there getting a talk from the guy that's running the project, which is, I mean, if you got a question after, or if you're into it, or you want to help, most of the people say, you know, I'll be over there in the hallway. Come on up and see me. Or they're very receptive.
Everybody was very approachable. I spent a good 10 minutes talking with Gus at one point, and I got pictures with Emmanuel and Bernie S.
And that guy with the boot on his head, that's your new avatar on Identica.
Vermin Supreme.
Vermin Supreme. Hysterical. President-elect.
President-elect? No, presidential candidate.
Oh, there you go.
There's a difference.
Yes, there's a big difference. Yeah, that guy was a hoot. Him and the Yes Men, and there's just so much to see. I can't wait till they get all the talks up so I can start burning through them at work.
Yeah, it is like it's a whirlwind of activity. The whole 3 days. Down near the hackerspace, did you see like the 20 or 30 like cots? So people just come and they just crash whenever, and some people don't even get a hotel room.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
At the Last Hope, I woke up at 3 a.m. I just couldn't sleep, and I went down to work on that badge, soldering on the badge, and there was still 8 or 10 people there, and the one kid had been there Friday. This was Saturday night, and he hadn't slept yet. He's just like, coffee, coffee, coffee. Or is it Club Mate?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd... I don't know if I'd seriously go to sleep on one of those cots, because you might wake up and find, you know, no wallet, your phone's been rooted by somebody else, and, you know, who knows what could be happening.
People do it, though. I walked past past about 4 p.m. and there were people crashed on it.
Did you guys get a chance to ride a Segway?
I did.
Oh, did you?
That was great.
Oh, you both did, huh?
Yeah, they're neat little devices. Yeah, yeah. I've seen them there for years, and usually when I go by, there's a big line, but I happened to go by there, and there were only a couple of people there, so I got right on one. They're neat little devices. They're easy to ride, and I like the way they have, you know, they have a little course for you to go down, and at the end of one hallway, there's an open window at the end of, not open, but not covered up with anything, so there is just glass. So basically, you're going down a hallway towards, you know, overlooking 7th Avenue.
If you start seeing sparks and smoke and you're heading towards that window.
Yeah. Yeah, but those are neat things. I saw some people, you know, going really slow on them. I found it very intuitive to ride, so I was got the tires squealing around a couple of the corners. That was kind of fun.
The first day, there was a point where there was nobody over there, so I went over and hopped on one and went around the course and came back, and I tried to film myself for the kids. And that didn't really work out very well. Just you see me grinning like an idiot and the tires. And then so that the next day I happened to be walking towards the escalator and I noticed there was nobody standing over there again. So I asked the gal if she'd let me just run it down the line and turn around and come back while she filmed me with my phone so the kids could see me riding one. But
nice.
It was a hoot.
I guess I didn't take a left there. I saw people... like DJs making music and stuff right along the escalators, but I didn't go up.
Yeah, they had a synthesizer drum machine hooked up to a Kinect, so people were just waving their hands in front of it, making music with it. But if you just
walk
past
them, that's what that guy was doing.
Yeah, if you just walk past them, they had the Segways back there.
Yeah, I was going down the escalator, and somebody was just waving their hands around. I'm like, what is he doing? So he was controlling the music.
Yes, exactly.
I always have this fear that I'm missing something. There's something I haven't seen. I felt like that through the whole conference. Did any of you make it to that sixth floor and see what was going on there?
No.
No, that was new this year, and no, I never made it there. And that feeling you have that you're missing something when you're at Hope, that is almost certainly correct, because there's always so much going on, you can't possibly see it all. You just have to go and soak in what you can and enjoy it. And you know.
Yeah, people start congregating around 8:30, 9 o'clock, and then the talks start at 10, and they like go right to midnight.
Yeah.
So... try and catch your sleep and take a shower. That's what they keep telling everyone.
I would have loved to sit down at the lockpicker area and got some instruction and played with some stuff. But every time I'd see an empty chair, I'd think, well, you got to be down. You got to be up at a talk in a few minutes,
yeah.
or I'm going to miss something over here.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of fun, a lot of interesting stuff. I highly recommend it to everybody. And I have trouble talking people into it, although I was surprised this year I saw two people from my lug there. So I was kind of happy that some of them showed up.
You introduced me to one.
Yeah, yeah. Good guys. I'm glad they showed up. I'd like to see... I'm surprised that not everybody from my lug should show up there. I mean, you know...
And some people we talked to that live in the city or, you know, in New York, they hadn't heard about it or they had forgotten about it.
Right. Yeah, which is kind of mind-blowing of all the things. You know, it's once every other year, and it's a great conference for anybody even vaguely interested in technology or activism or, you know, civil rights. There's just so much stuff going on there, and it's so interesting. You know, just someone off the street, it hardly seems like someone wouldn't be able to find something interesting to look at.
Exactly.
I should mention, too, that 2600 has two podcasts, so if you're listening to them, believe me, you'll know Hope is coming up. But they have Off the Hook and Off the Wall. So Off the Hook is more like hackery stuff, and Off the Wall can be general topics. But you'll hear about Hope through them, believe me.
Yeah. Yeah, off the Wall I've lack a little patience for it because I've sort of dubbed it Emmanuel Whines About Everything because that's a lot of the time it ends up being. But yeah, anybody that listens to those podcasts can't possibly have missed it. Yeah, sometimes they're interesting, sometimes they drag on a bit. in my opinion.
Yeah, the ones where he's grabbing a lot of ambient sound from different places, I really enjoy those.
Hmm. Yeah, one that I liked, they were, I think they were in the Czech Republic or somewhere over, but they walked out to like a ghost rail line that was no longer open, but we're getting off topic.
It's certainly a great conference, and I wonder if they're ever going to put an upper limit on attendance for that, because I know they hit somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 this time, which is a pretty healthy number, and they opened up that sixth floor, I think, as a response to that, because there were a lot more standing room only talks than I recall in past years.
I actually thought to bring this up with you guys, and well, you just did, but yeah, they seem to be outgrowing that venue a bit.
Well, I think it would be tough to outgrow the venue. I think they're just going to take over more of the hotel as time goes by. You know, stuff like, you know, there was a whole first floor there that seemed to be abandoned. They've grown onto the sixth floor. I'm sorry I didn't get to the sixth floor to see what was going on there.
This is the first I'm hearing about it. Were there talks there?
There were apparently workshops going on. I know, like, Stephen Rambam said he was going down to the sixth floor and they were going to do an hour, and I could hardly see how he could restrain himself to just an hour, of, you know, going through, do you want to, you know, how do you investigate stuff? Do you want to look at my databases, which kind of blew my mind, and that type of thing. And I would presume he was probably talking through the whole thing, because he has such a wealth of information and perfectly willing to share it, so.
Yeah, I did hear about workshops, but I guess I didn't connect them that they were on another floor.
Yeah, on the sixth floor, and I didn't make it down there at all.
I think that's where all the dancing and art stuff happened, and there was the FCC ham radio registration testing going on down there as well.
Yeah, that's another thing. I wanted to study up and take the test, but I didn't get around to doing the actual studying end of that. I would have liked to have gotten my ham license.
So I guess what we're saying is get to Hope next time.
Yeah.
You got 2 years to plan.
Yeah, plenty of time. And if you let me know you're coming, I will stalk you online and be able to pick you out of the crowd. So you guys, if you guys want to give some contact information.
If you want to talk to Kuvmo, that's kuvmoh@gmail.com.
Oh, I'm nybill@gunmonkeynet.net or nybill on Identica.
I am Murph on Identica, M-U-R-P-H, and as far as email, you can get me at murph@member.fsf.org.
Nice. So, I hope to catch you guys at some conferences in between. Some of us usually meet up, but otherwise, hope to see you in 2 years.
Sounds good.
That's good. Hope to see you before then, but if not, I will see you too, and hopefully more HPR listeners at the next Hope.
Nice. Get the Hope, people.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Bill, for setting this up.
Oh, no problem. See ya.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HBR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.